Yes, one of the age-old stories, but we also know another age-old story is the story of love, homosexuality, and all the other sexualities in between.
You're listening to ABC Radio.
Gertrude Street in Fitzroy, Victoria, has had a fresh lick of rainbow paint, getting ready for tomorrow's big celebrations for Melbourne Pride. Beck Cohen is the project and project manager of Melbourne Pride. She joins you today. Hello.
Hello.
What is the history behind this significant event?
This event is the 40th anniversary, so it's a commemoration of the decriminalisation of homosexuality in Victoria.
And it is such a important reminder that only 40 years ago, people's way to love and live was a criminal offence.
That's correct. There's been such an incredible amount of things that have happened in the last 40 years, but I think it really demonstrates that we've got a long way to go.
And a lot of people who have lived experiences of that time as well. Have you been able to work with many people who were at the forefront of those 40 years ago with helping decriminalise homosexuality in Victoria?
So we've worked with some incredible people. We've had incredible discussions. We've had these fantastic interviews going on. We've reached out to people in country areas of Victoria too, whose experience is different, again, to people who have grown up and lived in the city. There's artwork responses, there's recorded interviews, and it's, I think one thing that's coming to mind actually is the Hair Hold Generation project, which Maud Davey and Crusader Hillis are working on at the moment. And that's incredible because they've got, an established artist who's been working for a very long time, and they're working with a mid-career artist, and so that mid-career artist is working in response to the art by the person who has probably experienced a lot of the things in the last 40 years. And that's really exciting. We're going to see some of those things on the stage, Melbourne Pride.
You mentioned some of the conversations that have been had with people in the city versus country areas. What are some of the themes and conversations that have come out of that, of the different experiences?
Well, I think some of the things that have come out of the experiences from people who grew up in the country is just like a resonating theme of isolation and fear. You know, people often have to move away from their country town to discover who they are or who they want to be and then come back, or some people don't come back, or they'll have to go to a different place. But there's been an incredible response from our country areas and some fantastic art that's come out of that, some of which has actually come to Melbourne as well to be shared, which is really exciting.
And, you know, the experiences of the LGBTIQA plus community is not always an easy one. Still to this day, people are facing daily discrimination and different things are being chatted about, and whether it be Parliament or even socially. I think it's an important reminder, isn't it, that even though it's decriminalised, it's these experiences and these struggles and challenges are not just a thing of the past. It's still a community that deserves support and a highlight and recognition.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we see evidence of that every day.
What's happening this weekend?
Well, very exciting event. We're having a street party in Fitzroy and Collingwood in Melbourne. So the event is called Melbourne Pride, A Road to Pride. And we'll have two stages out on the streets. We'll be stopping the 86 tram, and we've got live entertainment between 11 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night, and it's all for free. So it's a commemoration and a celebration.
And there's some music acts as well.
Yes, we've got a fantastic lineup. We have Yummy Cabaret. We've got Evan Lawson and Deborah Cheatham, who have created an incredible operatic piece in response to the themes of Melbourne Pride. We've got fabulous Jimmy the Queen, Kira Peru. We've got a special appearance from Rod Snarsky with his band. And then we've got cabaret performer Ruben Kay. He's presenting a variety cabaret. And then really well-known locals, the Huxleys and Simone Page Jones. They're coming with special guests Benjamin Hancock and James Andrews. And, of course, not to forget our headlining act, Electric Fields.
Oh, how exciting, Bec. I'll let you go because I know a day out from production and the event, you're running around extremely busy and have taken some time out to have a chat. So thank you again. And listen, a big congratulations to everybody and lots of love to those celebrating what was a momentous change in the law 40 years ago, but also a reminder that there's still a lot to go to support the community. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Bec Gouin from Melbourne Pride. Also joining you today is Professor Paula Gerber, who is an International Human Rights Professor of Law at Monash University. Hello, Paula.
Hello.
What went into decriminalising homosexuality in Victoria 40 years ago?
A lot of lobbying and a lot of advocacy. The movement sort of started in around 1977 in Victoria to decriminalise. South Australia had already decriminalised. They did it in 1975. And, yes, finally the Hamer Liberal government took the step of decriminalising homosexuality, although there were still some offences that remained, and gay men were still targeted by the police and prosecuted for a couple of years afterwards.
Yeah. Although Victoria was taking quite a big stand on an international scale as well, it wasn't an easy road for anyone after that. What happened in the years to follow?
Well, other states subsequently decriminalised. So when Victoria decriminalised in 1984, I was actually a law student in Queensland, and it was another 6 years before Queensland decriminalised, and another not until 1997 that Tasmania decriminalised, and only after the United Nations had ruled that Tasmania was violating human rights by continuing to criminalise consensual same-sex sexual conduct. But since then, the legacy of these convictions continued to haunt the people who had been convicted of these crimes, in quotation marks, for many years to come. And finally, the Victorian government in 2014 recognised this and actually took steps to set up a system to expunge those convictions. Because more and more we see people trying to do volunteer work or to get jobs are subject to criminal record checks. And these offences were coming up in their criminal record checks, and so continuing to affect them, you know, decades after Victoria had actually decriminalised.
And you were actually involved with some of those cases, weren't you?
Yes, I saw a small snippet in the newspaper one day about how the UK had set up a system for expunging convictions, and I thought, I wonder if that's happened in Australia, and it hadn't. So I started to agitate a bit, along with a lot of other people working in human rights, like the Human Rights Law Centre and Anna Brown, and a lot of lobbying was needed to get the government to recognise they did need to take this step. And there were three men in Parliament at the time that that law was passed who had convictions, and the relief and the emotions that they felt at finally no longer being labelled criminals. But unfortunately, many of the men who had been convicted had passed away before these reforms were passed.
That absolutely breaks my heart.